and awkward.
The handy dandy
belted
and what the heck?
Just hanging out and talking dad stuff.
Don't give school dads any dad guff.
So take a knee, use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey, tire pressure, playing catch, time a corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dad buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around.
Buddy, I am hot today. I'm ready to go, but I'm also feeling the power of positivity, my friend.
Well, fantastic.
In the face of a crazy world. Now listen, full disclosure for our audience, quick reminder for everybody, Nathan and I pre-record these episodes. So just full disclosure, not sure exactly what is going on in the world literally right now because I don't have a crystal ball. But in this moment, while I'm recording with you, Nathan Kress, I'm filled with a positive energy, the likes of which I might never have felt in my entire life. And I am excited about it. And I'm excited to just be here with you, my friend.
Well, that's awesome. That makes me incredibly happy. I don't even know where to begin. Can you give me some background into what event has made you feel this way? Or is it just the general, like, what's going on? Like, fill me in. I'm confused,
Nathan,
in a happy way.
I finally feel like I am... Listen. Oh boy. Nope. See, nope. I'm not going to do it. I was going to couch it. I was going to couch whatever I was going to say, and I'm not doing that anymore. And this is all part of my point. I finally feel like I am finding my voice in the world. It's an empowering feeling. I'm excited by it. And I am also saddened, of course, by the idea that it takes these moments to arrive at these notions within myself, and I'm seeing that with a lot of people out there. But nevertheless, growth is important, in my opinion, as you navigate your way through this thing called life. And I don't know, man. I'm feeling my own personal little rebirth, if you want to call it that. I feel it out there in the world as well, and in the zeitgeist, and I think a lot of people are feeling that, this sense of empowerment. And I'm just happy to be part of it. And listening more than I've been talking lately has really been paying off. And yeah. I don't know. I feel good about it, man. I feel like I'm finally using social media for what it should have been used for the entire time. Not just telling people to tune into my show Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. or what, you know what I'm saying? But like to actually talk about what's going on out there in the world. And I get it now. And I'm no longer living in fear. And if that's true for me, I'm hoping that that's true for so many other people out there who deserve to be living their life that way more than I deserve to be even living my life this way. But if it can even happen for me, I hope it's happening for so many more people out there, this awakening. And I just want to keep this momentum going.
Wow. I'm stunned, sort of, and in a good way.
I was just going to say, we talked about it last week a little bit.
Yeah.
With like looking yourself in the mirror, having the courage to look deep within yourself and view situations you've had with family members, friends, coworkers, anyone that you might have known in the past, times when you maybe should have spoken up, times when maybe you said something stupid. And to examine those moments, see them fully for what they were, and then learn from them and either let them go or hold on to them and so that you can keep on learning from them. Whatever that own personal epiphany is, man, I don't know. I see it out there and I see it within me.
That's awesome. And I think that's part of what the whole thing is about, because I think that's the beginning of being able to actually call yourself an ally, you know, someone who isn't making it worse. even for the people, sometimes people are like trying to help, but they end up making it worse.
No longer lip service, baby.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm
awesome.
Saying?
Yeah.
No longer lip service. And look, I hear everybody out there, even people who are agreeing with me right now, and I too am not excited or happy about the idea that it has to come because of the Black Lives Matter movement. I wish that I was using my voice at its fullest this entire time, but I cannot go back. I can only go forward.
Yeah.
And I want to just go forward with positivity and love, man. And I know I sound like a granola eating crunchy hippie, but maybe that's what I am. I'll see you at Woodstock or something. We'll roll around in the mud together. It'll be a good time. It's only life after all, baby. We've got one shot at it, and we might as well do the best job that we can and stop turning a blind eye towards our friends and neighbors who are hurting out there, no matter their color.
Yeah, exactly. I love you, Brett. I
love you, buddy.
I think, like you said, it is really sad that it had to be something like this to do it, but I feel like there are so few in our like society in America and in the world, there are so few unifying events that like every sane, rational, reasonable person can get behind. Like there are so few events like this that are just 100% clear cut and dry. Something is wrong and something has to change. You know,
So and to build on your point, I think you'd agree with me. Sometimes not everybody's going to agree about how people go about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But when you boil it down, when you put the pot of sauce on the stove and you try to condense it down to an eyedropper full of sauce, when you really just try to boil it all the way down. And I know I sound cliche. I know I sound simpleton. We've already talked about that on this show. But man, it is really just about the idea that we are all connected and that through love, anything can be achieved and that love at the end of the day always wins. It takes more effort to hate, man. Just open your eyes and your ears to your friends and neighbors. Listen to them when they're talking. Put your phones down for a while. Live outside of your screen. Have a phone call rather than a text conversation. Let's all get back to a time when because I don't even know if it ever existed. And maybe, and that's the whole point too. Let's not go back to any times. Let's go to a new time in which we're all just understanding and relating to each other in real time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you said earlier, I think one of the keys to that, that a lot of people have trouble with, and sometimes I do as well, but the idea of listening more than speaking.
Yes.
I think that that's a problem that we have and it's a problem, honestly, that a lot of white people have in general, is just not hearing a point or hearing a Black Lives Matter sound blurb and then just immediately jumping in with, well,
Yes.
And it's just like, okay, I see your point and counterpoint. But I hope that this is just the opportunity where people just like, shut up, just shut up, just listen, you know? And that's honestly, this is why I haven't been as, well, virtually active at all compared to you on social media, because I am in that phase still where I feel like I can't really say anything until I'm like read up on it. And that's sort of what I'm in the process of doing on my time, is figuring out, okay, what is going on? And that's part of just who I'm, like that weird hyper analytical.
I will send you some stuff. I will send you some stuff, my friend. This is, by the way, what you are doing and what is happening in real time that is not planned, by the way. We literally just jump on the phone with each other and start talking.
Yeah.
What is happening right now in real time, Nathan Kress, let's put a pause in this and understand that you just saying what you just said and me now reacting by what I'm going to say, which is, let me send you some stuff, pal.
Yes.
Let me. And by the way, not from, you know, let's all stop with the like, well, but what side does that stuff come from? Okay. I'll find stuff from the AP. I'll find stuff from Wikipedia, from crowdsourced things, from, I don't know, whatever we can all agree on is as neutral as possible or whatever, right. But I will send you some stuff. And the point that I'm trying to make is that you and I were not going to have this conversation in the past.
No.
It wouldn't happen.
No, not at all.
I mean, it might have a little bit, But the bigger conversation of like, how do you get involved? Me sending you articles, us having a real back and forth that lasts for a while.
Right.
I'm sorry. Let's just be honest about it. It wouldn't have happened. We would have just probably done the same old like, man, did you hear that story? Yeah, it's really sad and tragic. Yeah, I know. Boy, something really needs to be done. Yeah, I know. Why can't we all just get along? Yeah, man. Okay, cool. Where do you want to go for lunch?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah.
For the most part, that's the length of those conversations. Let's just be honest about it.
Right.
But we're going towards that new place, man.
Yeah.
It's no longer.
Yeah.
No and longer.
And the cool thing is we're not the only ones, you know.
Yeah.
So much of this.
And also I'm so sorry to cut you off, but also I want to come at what you said about not being ready to jump in with 2 feet. I want to come at it from a place of love, like I've been talking about, and not just immediately start yelling at you. Well, then you're not part of it. Forget it. I'm hanging up the phone because you haven't posted yet or enough or like whatever. No, right. I'm going to say, well, man, hey, listen, understand, but let me send you some stuff and then let's talk again tomorrow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. The whole thing is based on talking about it.
Yes.
Like that is what either people haven't done, have been too uncomfortable to do, or refuse to do. And and it's like, depending on what your motivation is for not talking about it, that's part of what says a lot about who you are, you know?
Well, it's always been lip service in the past. In large part by a lot of people. Okay, I'm sure there's been people who feel it to their core, and there's always the exception to the rule. But for the most part, I think we can all admit, from our elected officials all the way down to our friends and neighbors, it's been a lot of lip service. Yeah. And I mean, I'm just telling you, man, it's not from me anymore. I don't think from a lot of people anymore, and that can only be a good thing going forward. I saw this news headline where like a police lieutenant in New York has now come out with a quote that he sort of regrets kneeling with the protesters and that he was only doing it because he was, you know, felt forced to, and that if he didn't, there would have been violence. It's like, well, man, then you shouldn't have kneeled.
No. Or, yeah.
Then you shouldn't have. If you didn't feel it, then you shouldn't have. But you know what you should have done after listening? Go home and think about it a little bit. Look yourself in the mirror. Drive with the radio off. Have a moment of self-reflection. And then decide what you arrive at.
Yeah.
But
right.
The lip service time is over.
Yeah. Disingenuity is
And I think people are feeling this at their core.
Yeah.
I think people really are feeling this at their core out there.
Yeah.
We know that the Black community has obviously felt it at their core for a long time. And right. The beauty of this moment right now, not that they need anybody or whatever.
Yeah.
But the beauty of this moment that I see is that when I turn on the television, it's a rainbow coalition out there of people and young,
mm-hmm.
young people who, in my opinion so far, I mean, I don't know your individual lives, but like this is clearly the biggest, you know, sort of communal moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe for a lot of younger people of any color, they're finally finding the first time in their lives when they can feel this sort of sense of empowerment that I'm feeling. And I say good, man.
Yeah. If this has to be kind of one of the primary rallying cries of this generation, because it's something that's been so cyclical, you know, there was victory in emancipation in the 1800s, but then nothing really, really changed.
Well, because it wasn't true victory. It came
exactly.
With, you know, more subjugation and, you know,
right.
no,
just different
no voting rights and land owning and Jim Crow laws and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, is it a step in the right direction? I mean, of course.
Oh, sure. But yeah,
you know, but this is just one more step in the evolution. It's just, it's late, admittedly, mm-hmm. but we're here now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're what? We're 60 years after the Civil Rights Act. And if we're just getting to this point, like that's a problem. That's bad. That's really bad. You know, we shouldn't be here 60 years later. But at least we're here now. Yeah. And the momentum of this feels different. I think everyone, it seems like, feels that. And like, I was just looking up yesterday, there's some really like fascinating charts that came out showing like public sentiment toward Black Lives Matter. And just in like the last 2 weeks, that sentiment has increased more than the past 2 years or something. And yeah, it just seemed like that just shows that people were questioning it before, you know, and yeah, there were probably people who were spinning it, you know, and being able to pull out sound bites to make it fit their narrative. But now it just seems like there's the overwhelming kind of tidal wave of, no, this is what needs to be done, you know? And sure, like, I haven't heard anything this time around, but like, no organization is perfect and it's made up of a bunch of humans, but this is the closest thing we've got to being able to have a rallying cry to get behind to make things different in society and in the way that we perceive people. Not even just about the police. Like, a lot of it is about the police and reforming what that is and what they should and shouldn't be able to do. But a lot of it also is just, like you said, getting people to sit down and have resources to look at themselves and say, what am I doing to contribute to the problem? What am I doing inherently just with who I am? What am I making a conscious choice to do? How is my mindset affecting this? What are my inherent biases? What are my taught biases? Who in my life has affected my thoughts and my perceptions of
and
people
infected.
Who are different from me? Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, affected for the negative. So, you know, when you realize, it's kind of like what we talked about yesterday when we were talking about this with our kids. Racism, I believe, is a learned behavior. You know, we don't come out of the womb judging people differently just because of where they come or what they look like. So where did we get that from? That's the conversation that needs to happen, is getting down to the core of it, figuring out where those things came from, why they happened, and how they can be dismantled and overridden with the simple truth, like you said, everybody is the freaking same.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously, look, educate yourself, but quickly arrive at a conclusion that a lot of people are arriving at, and then let's get to work. I also want to say, Nathan, you know, speaking of phrases and buzzy things that make white people nervous, I have been radicalized.
Oh,
and I have been, but I have been radicalized with love, man. And I want to talk about these current events, but from this like positive angle of the overwhelmingly positive light of social change.
Yeah.
And loving the people around you. And quit flipping that guy off just because he stopped a little shorter than you would have at the stoplight in front of you. Knock it off.
Yeah.
Take your hand away from the horn. It's all good. You're going to get there. And even if you're both driving to the same place, you're going to get there 6 seconds later, probably less than that. Give me a break. Let's approach each and every person different and every situation differently than we have in the past. We all have moments where we're going to get angry. We all have moments where we're going to act like a jerk or whatever. Fine. Let's just have less of them. And let's think about and pick our battles a little bit better. Think things through a little bit more. That's the way that I've been radicalized during this movement. You know, it's not a political thing. It's a human thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, don't be scared by me saying I'm radicalized. I'm just saying I've been radicalized with humanity.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not a political thing. I'm looking at the people, man. Look at the politicians, not the political party so much.
Right.
I mean, look at the party that is protecting them or whatever and you know, have your eyes open. But, I mean, you're learning a lot about individual people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you a story about being in the backyard with the kids, but we need to take a break.
Oh, okay. All right, let's do it.
So, Nathan, a couple of days ago, I was in the backyard, came home from doing the radio stuff that we do, and, you know, man, the world was and still maybe continues to be so heavy, you know?
Yeah.
And I get home and kids are excited and they want to go play in the backyard. And so I said, well, let's go play some baseball. So I have a little tee and their little tee balls and bats, gloves. Mm-hmm. And my son said, I don't want to play. I'll do it later. Maybe tomorrow. he's 5 and he's like, maybe later. And I was like, oh, come on, man. It's going to be fun. Let's go. He's like, nope. And now here's where being radicalized by love helps out. Because weeks ago, I would have said, hey, come on. Get your shoes on. We're going outside. This is good for you, darn it. I kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But buddy, I'm feeling this different energy. And so I had this quick moment with myself in my head in a, you know, it took a nanosecond, but it felt like it was a whole conversation with myself. And I looked back at him and I said, all right, well, I'm going to go outside and play baseball by myself then. And if you want to play, you can come join me. And then the girl was in a different room that's closer to the backyard. And as I walked past her, I said, hey, you want to come play baseball with daddy? Daddy's going to go outside and play baseball. She looks at me, she goes, yeah. And so then we went outside, we started playing, and lo and behold, who do you think comes around the corner not less than a minute later and wants to play baseball?
Your wife.
Right? Well, both of them, actually.
Oh, hey.
The boy and her. But actually, that's true. So the whole family, this is 100% a true story. So then the whole family, Mrs. Davern, I keep forgetting that I never say their real names. Mrs. Mm-hmm. Davern, the boy and the girl and I, we all began playing baseball in the backyard. And his fundamentals were terrible. Terrible. We haven't played in weeks. Okay. He was on a little t-ball team when COVID kicked off and it had to all get canceled. So we haven't played in weeks. And he was all over the place. He's all elbows and knees. His feet aren't facing the right direction. They're too close together. He's choked up way too far on the bat sometimes, whatever. And you know what, Nathan? I couldn't care less the entire time. Because I was approaching it from this new feeling that I have and this new feeling of positivity and love. And I thought, I don't care if he breaks the window on the house because he's faced the wrong way. Let him do it his way. He's 5 years old and we've got plenty of time to figure it out. And wow. We had the best like hour or so. It was a nice break for everybody, a nice deep breath. And I learned so much and it's just how I want to live going forward, man. And if, listen, I know a lot of people have not experienced these times in this way, especially, you know, with coronavirus and with everything else that's going on. But this is my experience and this is what I've learned. And we were talking at the beginning of this, Nathan, about like, are there any silver linings or anything when it comes to like the pandemic? And I mean, I've found so many. And I have guilt about the idea that it's during this time.
Yeah.
And I'll work through that. Okay. But I cannot deny also what I've learned. And
yeah,
I'm just sharing that with you.
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. I honestly, like, there are so many, like, things that you can get out selfishly, honestly, that you can get out of this movement. And if that's one of those things is changing just your approach to life without mm-hmm. like confrontation. Sometimes confrontation is like necessary, but identifying those times and realizing, you know, this is not it. I'm just gonna like let this happen and just relax, isn't it about, you know?
And isn't it about just changing your approach in any area?
Yeah.
Just realizing that, I mean, what's the old adage? Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's right. Heard that. Everybody's dad has said that their entire life growing up. Football coaches say that, you know, hey, you keep making the same mistake on that man coverage on you know, against a shotgun on third down. Like, why do you keep doing that? You know, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. We've all heard this saying 1,000 times.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm really saying. Just
right.
If, you know, understand that maybe your approach wasn't working, come at something from a different tact. And you can not only use that in parenting, but in how you watch the news.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You use it in all things.
Yeah. If you find that you're angry and that you're angry a lot, figure out why, you know, what's not working, you know, because that's not how we're supposed to be. That's not how we were made to be. So the fact that we are huddled over our computers screaming at anonymous people on the internet, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So maybe a lot of it is just like sitting down and being willing to have that dialogue and being willing to listen and identify things in your own life that are just not working, you know, and get out of that cycle. But what were you talking about? You were saying there's like a phrase before the break, and when we got into the baseball story, of course we went off on a tangent. What was the phrase that you were talking about that makes people uncomfortable that you wanted to say?
Oh, someone being radicalized.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was about white people specifically.
Yeah, that makes white people nervous, especially in the last few years and stuff, because we hear it used in terms of like young kids getting radicalized and joining ISIS or whatever. I mean, it's a nerve-wracking thing to hear that someone has been radicalized because of the way that terminology has been portrayed recently in the media. And I wanted to just put a spin on it and say you can be radicalized with positivity as much as you can negativity.
Right.
And
exactly.
So I was just trying to make that point as well.
Gotcha. I completely agree. I think that's the thing that, like you said, radicalized has been used almost exclusively in a negative way. But this is one of those situations where in society, literally, if you look back on emancipation and the 100 years that followed that, the Emancipation Proclamation was a radical act. It fundamentally changed the hierarchy and social structure of America to eliminate slavery, which is literally what the country was built on. That is incredibly radical, and it had a lot of people who weren't a fan of it. So what did they do? They tried to return it to the status quo because that's what was comfortable. That's what worked better for them. You know, it didn't matter that it was hurting other people. They did everything that they could over those 100 years to say, okay, fine, sure, that was very radical, but we're going to do everything that we can to make that as slow and as ineffective as possible because the status quo works for us. Same thing with the civil rights movement. That was radical, but just because that removed segregated bathrooms doesn't mean that it removed segregated minds. You know, like there's still a mindset problem, and that is something that didn't get fixed. Like that's where there needs to be radical thought change. And honestly, I mean, we don't really get into this too much, but it really does pertain to it, especially if people are having trouble getting on this train, especially because it may be coming from largely the conservative side, which, you know, that's
what people who won't jump on.
Yeah. People who are more hesitant to.
Right.
Because
Fox
News
viewers. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. People who are less reticent maybe to take that hard look or to jump into, liberal conspiracy or, you know, whatever else, like depending on just how many pundits you're listening to. If you really want to be radical, literally the most radical person who changed the definition of love was Jesus. Like, if we all just freaking lived like Jesus, the way that he chose to love people, that's just documented and written down. And the fact that he refused to let societal norms separate him from people, and he chose to seek the people who were different from him, and he glorified the people that were different from him and used them as examples of how to be a good neighbor. Like, literally, everyone knows the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Or at least the concept of it. I don't think people realize the Samaritan, that was an example of racial division. Like, Samaritans were disrespected, looked down on, hated people in Jewish culture. That was part of the radical story, was the Good Samaritan was the example of being a good neighbor and loving your neighbor. That's what that story was about. And it was about how people who were like the guy who got robbed, they just went past him because they didn't want to deal with it. They weren't being that good neighbor. But the hated, racially divided, outcasted person was the one person who stopped to help, to be a neighbor and to show love and to bridge that racial divide. That was what that story was about. That was what he was. That was his thing. So, like, especially because the conservative side largely encapsulates the evangelical Christian movement, of which, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm an evangelical Christian, but I really want there to be some change. And I want people to be like Jesus, because he was the best at loving people on the planet in all of history. So if you're an evangelical Christian, you have even less of an excuse. This is the time where you have to start looking at yourself and saying, like, am I not being like Jesus right now? Because he had some really good, clear-cut examples. And, like, what you literally what you were saying
Wait,
earlier.
Nathan, are you trying to tell me that some people who wear the WWJD bracelets don't actually look down and read it from time to time, or don't actually practice that? Is that what you're saying to me, Nathan?
Brett, that's exactly what I'm saying. And
man,
that's
Nathan,
one...
if you had any idea the number of WWJD bracelet guys I stood next to at Ragers in high school who were not looking down at their wrists. I mean, buddy, I'm with you, man. You know, I'm not trying to, not to cut you off, but you know me, man. I'm not a religious fella at all.
Yeah.
I've never been to church or anything like that. I do have a very primitive understanding, though, at least of Christianity, and have been taken to a few Bible studies in my day. And I mean, maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, but I tend to think that if JC was here today, he would be on the streets in peaceful protest.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be turning over tables. Like, that was one of his first things that he did, was like showing up at the temple and being so pissed off that the religious majority was like making money off of poor people and trying to monetize religion. He went in and started his own riot. Like, he went in and destroyed stuff because he was mad. Like, that's okay to do. Like, I'm not saying that that's okay to, like, riot and hurt people. I'm saying it's okay to turn over tradition and majority when it's the right thing. You know, it was picking his moment.
How would Fox News be reporting on JC kicking this thing off, though? That's what we need to ask ourselves too, though, right? Like, what you're saying, we need to meet hypocrisy head on.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's exactly what you're saying. Like, if Jesus himself was out there on the streets, would it change the narrative coming from a certain side of this country? I don't think so, man. I think that some people are just kind of lost. And that's not to say they can't find themselves and come back. But, I mean, I've been screaming for a long time and nobody's listening. And we know that the Black community has been screaming for a lot longer.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years with nobody listening. And so, I mean, it's funny to talk about in terms of, like, you know, if that was a reality, you know, him marching on the street or whatever. But I mean, really, like, I think if we stop and ask ourselves, would it, I don't know. I mean, I don't even think that would really shake a lot of people from these things that they're holding on to. And the political party that they, or at least the one person in charge that they for whatever reason can't distance themselves from. And I don't know, man. I don't get it.
If you could zoom out and just, like, ask God, ask Jesus, like, how do you feel about this stuff? I think he would be really sad and very disappointed that people who claim to follow him and want to be like him are being the exact opposite of like him. Mm-hmm. So, and honestly, and what's so funny is you said literally, and it sounded so familiar, I had to look it up. You basically quoted a Bible verse earlier, just in your common sense and basic humanity and decency. You did. So one of the most important verse, and I can't believe on Radioactive Dads, I'm about to read a Bible verse, but this is actually kind of exciting for me. But you said it first, so that's why.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, listen, wait, hold on. Let me make myself crystal clear, man. I don't have a problem with religious people. Look, at its most basic, again, if we're going to boil the sauce all the way down to that thimble full of juice, It's good a lot of the time. There are some bad things, though, and this is what I'm saying about everything. We can't deny those things, okay?
Right.
But the message of, like, loving thy neighbor, who can disagree with that?
Exactly. And that's
I don't have any problem with the religion. You can talk about religion anytime you want on the show. I don't have any problem with it. It's just as long as we're willing to have an honest conversation about
it. Exactly. And what's so funny about it is, like, that's why
go ahead, my brother.
Okay, here we go. This brings up a whole other thing, because that's why I kind of hate the word religion, because to me, religion is just when man gets involved and messes it up. Like, when they put their own spin on stuff and add stuff into the core message, which is, like you said, it is literally about love. Like, that was one of the things that Jesus said was, if you do nothing else, love God and love your neighbor. Like, that is literally everything else that's good that can come out of a human being stems from those two things. So if you're doing those two things, you are following the law of humanity and my law. Like, that was the whole message, was like, There was literally a quote. Somebody came up to him and said, like, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And it was literally just love. That's
also
all, like.
Also, so is that the Bible verse, though? I want to make sure you get it. Is that what you wanted to say?
It wasn't, but I'll do it real quick.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
So James 1:19 is, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That is what is not happening. What we are talking about with, especially with white people who just want to, like, jump in on the conversation. You need to listen before you talk. And you need to be quicker to listen than to talk, because you have to get educated. There has to be change, and you can't
but
just go straight
way,
out of the
not
gate.
Not enough fingers in your ears type of way. That's the thing too, though, right? It's like, it's not like it's actually listening with an open heart and open mind, really trying to get to the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I talked to a lot of people who are just kind of going, like, waiting for me to finish, like you were talking about earlier. So,
right.
Yes. Actually listening,
right? And
not,
I think,
just disagreeing just because you're taking something on face value.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can't listen with closed ears, you know. So I think that's the, like you said, that la 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 la, that's not listening, that's just closing yourself off. So I think that's that thing that people are going to have to be willing to overcome. And, like, it's a really uncomfortable thing, because there's all, you know, in terms of, like, just white privilege, and, like, who we just are, and the way that societal norms have been built around racial divides, that's a really uncomfortable thing to acknowledge and to identify with, and in a way, like, almost be willing to admit to, you know, because that's like, I don't want to say that, like, that I'm treated differently because of the color of my skin. Like, I don't want to, because it makes me feel like I'm a part of the problem. And I don't want to admit to being part of the problem. I want to be part of, like, the solution. But I think part of it is, there's no way around it. Like, it's happening whether you want to admit it or not.
Well,
you know?
And you
want
to believe also that whatever it is that you've gotten, or even just whatever, being picked first in dodgeball, you want to believe that it has nothing to do with the color of your skin, because it's uncomfortable to think that it might have.
Right. That you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that, like, no one's saying you didn't work for it or anything like that. I think anyone's just saying, well, just slow down and think about it a little. Is that what happened? And then what does that mean? And then use that going forward. And, you know, if not, well, then that's okay. But just think and be aware. That's it.
Right.
That's it. Just think and be aware.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so frustrating, because it's so simple, but why, you know, it's odd that it's not happening. But I guess, you know, at the very least, even if it's kind of a slow process, if it's happening on a level of introspection first, and people just looking at themselves and saying, okay, obviously, you know, when it comes to white privilege, that's a kind of nebulous concept. It's hard to nail down, but I think, you know, getting past the barriers.
Do you want me to try for you real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Since this is what we're talking about?
Sure.
Because I don't think I did it on this show, and we do have to break. So let me get through this, and then I know you can't see the thing over there. But anyway, I tried on a different show. I don't know if I tried on this show yet or whatever. And so here's what I came to when thinking about white privilege. It's listen, No, I understand that, again, a phrase makes people uncomfortable. Let's break down the phrase for a second. White privilege. In my opinion, the part of the phrase that makes white people tense up so much and get so nervous is the word privilege, because right. to them, it implies that you grew up wealthy or that you grew up with some sort of connections, nepotism, that has gotten you to where you are. And you're sitting there saying, no, I didn't. I grew up, you know, very blue collar or middle class, or I didn't have, my parents didn't know anyone, blah, blah, blah. Like, I had to work my butt off. And you're saying that I just got it because of some sort of privilege. No one is saying that. What people are trying to get people to recognize is that no matter where you grew up, no matter how you grew up, no matter, it doesn't matter. That part of it doesn't matter. Put that aside for a second. When you step outside of your house, or you go to that job interview, or you have that interaction at a cocktail party, your skin is white. And the person that you're talking to attaches certain connotations to that. Some people do, that they might be aware of, might not be aware of, or whatever. And so it's up to you to just recognize that fact, be aware of it, and then use that information that you arrive to going forward.
When you think of like, oh, well, that's a privileged person, you think about, you know, one percenters on their yachts, you know, who are privileged people. But that's yes. not the type of privilege that we're talking about. I think exactly. too quickly we take
I mean, it is
straight.
It can be. It
yes,
can
for
be.
Oh, obviously, yeah. But I'm just saying, I think the average person defines it that way. So we go straight to socioeconomic. You know, like there are poor white people with white privilege just because of who they are. You know, so like it's more about how you're perceived in society and just the odds of your interactions with police and how you're treated by people. Like I mean, here's an example. I lived in Glendale for a while, which was a like nice city. Like there's like divisions to it. We were in a pretty like middle of the road, good, not like the fancy area, but just like the family area sort of. And there's, you know, it's just totally residential. They have a pretty large, you know, police population.
Yeah, middle class.
Just like a middle class area.
Yeah, middle class suburbia. Yeah, I get
it. So I have gone through that area, lived there for years, never had a run-in with the police ever, never got stopped, never got just talked to for any reason. Mm-hmm. One of the times, one of my very, very dear friends who happens to be black came to visit. He stayed kind of late. So it was dark when he left, but it was probably like 9 o'clock. And he told me later he pulled over to, I think, like pull up the navigation on his phone to make sure he had directions to get home or was just pulling something up, and almost instantly got pulled over. Or, well, he was already pulled over, but like a police car came up behind him. They came out, talked to him, and did the whole just making sure that everything is okay thing. Yeah. And it was like, okay, I have pulled over on probably that exact street dozens of times to do exactly what he did. And I'm sure there were police driving by for at least one of those times. Why is it? And I've seen this across social media of actor friends of mine, and people of color across the board who have talked about their stories of how and why they have been treated differently from police and from people in general for absolutely no difference other than the fact that they're black. That is one of the primary examples of white privilege. It doesn't go straight to socioeconomic. It goes to how you're looked at by an officer of the law as if you're sitting in a nice car on the side of the road. You know, does the mind go to, oh, what a nice young man who's done well for himself and he must have worked really hard for that car? Or does it go to, oh, that's stolen?
There
you know,
could be
like,
trouble here. Yeah.
That is racism. You know, like that is and it's interesting. I was trying to,
I just want to jump in for a second because it's in my nature, but also I want to make the point that it's also for me, Nathan, it's also because I shared a couple stories, I think it was on the morning show, about being pulled over by the police, and I re-examined those stories and how during this time I've been thinking back on those stories. I mean, one of them involved me going well over 120 miles an hour in a rented Corvette in the middle of nowhere, pulled over at that speed, and he asked for the license and the rental agreement and then told me to slow down. I mean, that, you know, and so it's forced me to look at a lot of different situations. And so what I just wanted to say, building on your point or adding to it, at least perhaps, and correct me if I'm wrong, but even if the incident with your friend and with you and vice versa is racist, racially charged, even if it's not, the point is that it's this moment is letting you go back and examine those moments and then decide for yourself how you feel about them. And it's allowing your friend to examine those moments, and I'm sure he already has, and then come to his arrival at them. And that is progress.
Yeah.
Okay? Right? Yeah. And then right. If it is racism and if it is white privilege and you arrive at that thing, then you even further it on past that, and then that's even more progress. But, right. You know, like for everyone who hasn't jumped in yet, I just call them Fox News viewers, for lack of better terms. I just think you're not really looking yourself in the mirror yet. And I know that it makes you uncomfortable. It makes everybody uncomfortable. Nobody wants to be doing this.
Yeah.
But it's important.
Right. Exactly. And I think in the interest of fairness, like you said, like it's probable that the majority of people who are slower to come on board would be that demographic, the Fox News viewer. To be fair to the Fox News viewer who is listening, no publication, in my opinion, gets it right. I've seen stuff that was blatantly omitted from a more liberal publication or progressive mm-hmm. publication that I was sure. like rolling my eyes going, come on. And sure. Fox News does it too. Conservative mm-hmm. outlets do it. Liberal outlets do it. All outlets do it. The mm-hmm. important thing, and this is a huge thing that I've learned, and I started doing this in 2016, mostly, to be honest, is stop just reading your side. You have yes. to read both sides, because yes. those omissions are where the other side is going to catch it and latch on to it. That is the mm-hmm. only way that you're going to get the full gamut of information, is reading not just the things that you're used to and the things that you're comfortable with doing. You have to read both sides of it. And that's where
and
I've
talk
seen
to other friends, talk to different, sorry, yeah. I'm just, and just like I'm saying, like not only talk to one friend all the time or just your dad all the time or whatever, like talk right. to everybody, just listen. And if you listen and you take it in with an open mind, whether you're watching Fox News or CNN or whatever, if you're watching both and you're taking in all of the information and then you're sitting back and reflecting on it, and like you said earlier, not just immediately pouncing, and you're allowed to let that information sort of marinate, and you know, and then you're going to come to your own thing, and you're not just regurgitating talking points.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's a vicious cycle that has continued for a long time, but the only way to do it is to get people to stop, look, listen, read, talk to other people, shut up for just a little while before you open your mouth again.
Yes.
But get educated in that time.
I saw it in my home. Oh God, sorry. It's so hard over Zoom, man.
I know.
I'm sorry. I hope the listeners just realize this is just authenticity that you're hearing. I'm sorry right. that it sounds like a jumbled radio show sometimes, but man, we're doing this over Zoom. We can't see each other. It's hard. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now I kind of lost what
oh,
I
oh man, I'm sorry.
It's
I
okay.
Apologize.
I was
going to say that, for example, oh man, did I just do it again?
No, I was just going to say it was pretty wrapped up, so it was pretty decent timing.
Well, I was just going to say, for example, let's take my hometown of Seattle for 1 second and examine it. And like I said at the top of the show, we're pre-recording this, so I have no idea what's going on there right now in this very moment, but at least while we're recording it. This thing kind of touched off a few days ago with this autonomous zone, and there was, you know, these city blocks that apparently were taken over in this hostile takeover with these armed guards and all these like very scary, you know, black hooded sweatshirts everywhere, you know, and like all this very scary stuff. And I woke up to all that being like, oh, Seattle's trending. Oh no. And just instantly thinking tragedy. And the first few scrolls on Twitter were not good. You know, they were very scary and very scary headlines. And then I kept scrolling, and then I got to people who are actually there. And then I got to some footage actually being released from inside of the autonomous zone, quote unquote, if that's even really a thing. I saw a lot of pictures. I started listening to watching the news and seeing journalists who were inside of there, and it wasn't, to me, didn't look like the big scary thing that everyone was portraying it to be. It looked like a bunch of citizens who are very concerned and who want to prove a point by showing that it can be done without the police for a second. They're making a point. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's the way that we need to live going forward with no police. That is 100% not the way to live going forward. But I'm just saying it's a group of people trying to make a point and show you a different point of view instead of just all of a sudden calling them violent, blah, 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 fear, 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 fear. But just give it a second. Take a breather. Check it out. You know, they planted a community garden in the middle of a baseball field. Like, doesn't seem so, you know, violent to me. The police precinct that they took over, they changed the sign above it to read Seattle People's Department rather than Police Department. Don't be confused or diverted by the words and the phrases. Look deeper, I think, is obviously my overall point. Nathan, I want to quickly, because in a couple of days, this Friday, it's Juneteenth. And sticking with the message of peace and love that we've been talking about, I want to talk about this real quick because you want to talk about being nervous. This does have me a little bit nervous a little bit. And again, we're pre-recording and maybe the narrative on this has changed in the last few days. I'm not sure. But at the time we're recording, this has me nervous because President Donald Trump and his supporters and his campaign and his cabinet and his advisors and people around him, they know what date it is. And they also know what town they're going to. And it feels very deliberate to me, and it feels like a trap for the movement and for protesters. It feels like they're putting bait, meaning Trump, they're putting bait out there for the movement, and I hope that the movement doesn't fall for it. And what I mean is there's going to be protests in Tulsa on Friday. We know that. And then there's going to be people there who will be trying to protect Trump and their ideals from those people who are going to protest. And the last time that we saw one of these things really happen is like maybe Charlottesville or some of these very scary scenes that we've seen. And I don't want to see that. I don't think anyone wants to see that. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's violent. It just shows the worst of us. And it has me very nervous, and I know it's coming up in a couple of days, and if we can all just come at everything from this place of positivity and love and with our eyes open and realize that you very well could be walking into a trap, just keep your eyes open, keep your head on a swivel, and be safe.
Is
my message. If you'll allow me real quick, Nathan, there's something that was posted online. It's a Facebook page. It's called the Black Wall Street Times. And in talking about Tulsa, if you don't mind, if I can just read this real quick. I know I'm talking a lot on this episode, but okay. So I'm just going to read it word for word. This was posted 3 hours ago as we're recording this, and it was posted by an account called the Black Wall Street Times. The Black Wall Street Times, local organizers and community organizers are planning a last-minute local but larger celebratory event to commemorate Juneteenth and the legacy of Greenwood/Black Wall Street. We hope you'll join us. Details are coming soon. We highly encourage you not to protest near Trump's rally. It's a trap. He may be having his event in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he may be having his event in Tulsa because Oklahoma has been soft on combating COVID-19, but we shouldn't put anything past this president. We have listened to his racially divisive language for nearly 4 years. Trump isn't a dummy. He knows that Tulsa is the site of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre, the place where 300 Black Americans were massacred and buried in mass graves throughout the city, and that 36 blocks of Black economic progress were set ablaze, bombed, and burned to ashes. And he knows that June 19th is the time when the last of enslaved Black Americans joyfully and legally walked from under the ownership of their white masters. He is the president of, quote, law and order. And in my dreams last night, I saw smoke in the air, people running, and blood spilled in the streets 99 years after Tulsa's race massacre. So stay mentally strong and emotionally disciplined, and stay away from Trump's hate rally. For if he cared for all Americans, he wouldn't have chose to have his rally on June 19th, nor in the home of Black Wall Street. Respectfully, Nehemiah D. Frank. I don't know if you agree. I don't know if our listeners agree. This is my thing that I wanted to do and to illustrate. And I just would ask that everybody just realize that we are all connected. We are all human beings, and we just need to listen to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. I could, it's so hard to know and judge intentions, and it's really easy to want to jump to the immediate evil, the immediate, well, the other side is bad and this is why. At this point, that none of that even matters. Like, it doesn't matter what you agree with or don't agree with. What's, and I'm trying to say this for the benefit of no matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on, what matters and what is a fact is that this is going to, this is dangerous, and this has the potential to undo so much. And let's just assume that it is for the purpose of stirring up racial divide, and look at that event for that purpose and act accordingly. Like, you know, it's,
well, what in the past 4 years has shown us that he's going to say the right thing this
exactly
time,
exactly
right?
No,
and so, and you kind of, yeah, just have to learn, go by past you know, times. Like, is it possible that he says 100% the right thing and the country is unified afterwards? I mean, you know, pigs could fly, I suppose. But if we look at past history, it just has me nervous, man.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's not even so much about what I think he might say or about the rally. I think it's more just about, like, two very ideologically opposed people facing off against each other. It's the people outside. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, yeah.
This is something where someone's going to throw a rock or a water bottle or whatever,
right,
and it's going to kick off the whole thing. Yeah. Cooler heads have to prevail. And it's when it's proven who the cooler heads are, that's another bit of ammunition for change.
And so, I'm trying to say, don't fall for it. I'm trying to say,
right,
there's a lot of,
exactly,
progress being made, and I understand that you shouldn't have to worry about falling for it. I understand that you should be able to protest wherever you want and that people should hear you. And I get that. And I am so with you. I'm just saying, let's not have anything happen to the progress that's been made in these couple of weeks. Let's keep our eye on the prize. Let's keep going, because it feels so good, and it feels like, you know, it's really on the ropes, and I just don't want to go backwards, man. He wants to make America great again. I'm saying, dude, let's just be better going forward.
Yeah.
And in that spirit, I don't want to go back to even where we were a few weeks ago. I just want to go forward.
Yeah. So exactly. Exactly.
Nathan, I love you, buddy. I think we ran over time. If we did, where the whole episode you just heard is because it's on the podcast. And if you dropped off a long time ago on Adobe Radio, well, thanks for coming over and listening to the podcast. I'm sorry I cut you off a bunch.
That's okay.
There's a lot going on. Is there anything else, though, before we go? And I don't want you to have anything left unsaid due to my excitedness.
No, it's okay. I think we pretty much covered it. I think, again, just we've got it, like you said, and like I said, and like Jesus said, we all just got to figure out how to love each other better, mm-hmm, and actually love each other, yeah, not just say it, but act on it. And there's a lot of people who use the word but don't do the action. So look into yourselves and use this time of introspection. Use the fact that we are locked down in our homes for the most, in a lot of states still, where you have the time to be doing this. use it to your advantage and to the advantage of your neighbor, who it is your duty as a human being to show love to. It is the reason why we're here.
And if you are locked in your homes, and I can do this so quickly. I hear this point about like COVID and Corona, like, well, but it's going to increase the spread with all these protesters on the street. You know what? The truth is, yeah, probably. But if you're watching it, understand that that's how important it is to the people out there, that they are aware of that and willing to face down a global pandemic because they believe so much in this movement.
Yeah.
It's, I can't go out on the street and make thousands of people go back in their house. I mean, the police even tried. They can't either, okay? They're going to be out there protesting anyway. And we understand the risks. But that's how important it is to people.
Right.
That means something. Yeah. That's why this time is especially important. It shines an even brighter light on how important it is, because people are so willing to sacrifice themselves because of it. And people of all races. So, oh boy. I love you, buddy. We've covered it.
Love you too, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, we started to cover it. There's I'm sure you could go
scratch the surface.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but hey, this is why the dialogue continues. And I'm excited to see what else happens with you and your radicalization.
If you've got stuff to say to us, if you want to join the conversation, if you've got articles or whatever, I mean, let's have a conversation. I'm not afraid of it. Send it in. You got an opposing view? It's all good. You wanna just agree and throw some support? Great. That's great too. You know, our email address is radioactivedads@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on any social medias at Radioactive Dads. For my very dear friend, Nathan Kress, I'm Brett. We will see you next time.